He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, the last day of 2025 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only registered investment advisory firm and financial planning firm. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and our certified financial planner, our head financial planner here at the firm. And we are off to a very slow start. If it wasn't so cold, Barry, I might have gone fishing today, but we've got the cold is in the market, too. The Dow's down 118 right now, 48,249, still way up from where we started the year. And still way up from where I started my career at. The Dow has been a great success story, as has been the NASDAQ, even more so. The NASDAQ's down 36 today, however, 23,383. The S&P 500 is down 13 at 6,882. Still a good year for the S&P. Also well above where it was at when I got into this business back in 1998. The Russell 2000 down a little bit. The most interesting thing is the ping pong match going on between the bears and the bulls and silver. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we do have a little bit of a downdraft here today. I think, do you got any no-dos? Send me over. Uber deliver some no-dos tablets to keep me awake through this. But, you know, this ping-pong match between the bulls and bears and silver, it was up 8% on Monday, down 8% on Tuesday, and up up 8%, down 8% on Monday, up yesterday 8%, and down today 8%. And you get into the leveraged ETFs, and you're talking 16%, 20% moves in silver. I watch from the sidelines. I guess my silver coins and my safe don't really know the difference, you know, of what's going on in the trading pits. Right. In Chicago, is that where they trade silver, Chicago? The guy in the cow suit, is he out there?
Yeah, they're going to be. They're definitely going to have it on the on the exchange there, particularly on the commodity side. And it's, I guess, you know, if we didn't have silver. I guess this week it'd be a pretty boring week in the market. That's about the only action out there.
Yeah, the biggest news today is Nvidia and Taiwan Semiconductor. They're having a decent day. There's news out there or rumors out there that NVIDIA is asking Taiwan to get ready to ramp up the H2000 chips. H200, I get them mixed up, that there is demand coming in from China. So both of those stocks were up this morning, and that was about it. Nuclear stocks were off to a good start.
Yeah. And we got some weekly jobless claims. They came in, you know, pretty significantly lower than expected. I think they came in at 199,000. I think around 220 was expected. So that's another kind of interesting number for the labor markets. But it's a pretty low number at 199.
Yeah. Yep. That's a very favorable number on the economy. And we have narrowed it down. We're going to have our first workshop and meet up in Houston in the Galleria area. See. I kind of favor Marriott's myself, but we'll see. That seems to be the consensus pick. And it'll be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday, with Tuesday night being the workshop and all-day meetings.
Yeah.
Those meetings will go fast. We offer a one-hour meeting with us, the team. Tuesday night is the workshop. All are invited. You do have to have a reservation because space is limited. And, of course, the appointments, we've got two full days, and we usually book them. And then some.
Yeah, you get them filled up for sure.
Yeah, this is our first foray, though, into the Houston area, so we'll see how it goes. We just have to determine a date. It's either going to be, we're looking probably the first week of February. It seems to me that's where we're kind of at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see, and I'm looking forward to there. Maybe we can visit NASA headquarters, which isn't too far from the Galleria. And we actually have a client that works for NASA, right?
Yeah,
the Bay Area.
Do.
Yeah. So, anyways, hopefully he's not lost in space. The forward PE of the S&P closed yesterday. We're down a little bit. We're at 22.35. 23 has been the top over the last 5 years. We seem to run into resistance in the market when we get up into that 23 area. We have come down with a little bit of downdraft in the market and a little bit of upwards movement in the denominator. The earnings projections for next year, which are now at $308.50. That's unbelievable. We do not have an earnings problem in the market whatsoever, at least not for now. We will at some point in time. Right now, they continue to be very robust. Growth, double-digit growth this year, double-digit growth next year. It's that multiple that is the biggest issue. The five-year average is 20, and we're at 22.35. But we're in a Fed that hopefully will drop rates even more in 2026. So that is keeping that multiple at least supportable for now. And kind of surprising. No Santa Claus rally. That this didn't happen. It didn't materialize the last 5 days in trading. And I think it even includes Friday's action. We'll see what happens Friday. Friday will be maybe a little bit more action. You start to see the January effect kick in. You've seen some tax selling here probably in the last couple of weeks. And really, the action is in the silver pits. You know, I've always found silver to be a volatile little creature as far as trading ETFs and the futures on the metal. It's way more volatile than gold, much more volatile than gold. And it seems to be a little bit more manipulative. It goes back to Nelson, the Hunt brothers. And manipulating and trying to corner the silver market. Kind of like the game of hearts when you try to get all the hearts. You either fail at getting all the hearts and rack up a lot of points against you, or you get all the hearts and the Black Mariah and you ran the table. And that's what the Hunt brothers were trying to do two, three decades ago. They ran it up into the $60 area, did they, with silver. And for that reason, I tend to avoid it. I guess if you're a high-speed trader and really looking for action in a very dull market right now, well, you know, mess around with the silver ETFs. As I looked at the market yesterday, that's all I saw moving were small, 87-cent stocks, biotechs trading at $2 or $3, people just playing around, Chinese stocks. That's another area. I don't have as much as a problem with the big Chinese stocks like Alibaba and Tencent and others, but there's a lot of Chinese stocks that go public. They run them up to 25 or 30. Next thing you know, they're 60 cents. Where's the SEC on all of this? There seems to be a lot of manipulation in those smaller Chinese stocks. I wouldn't touch an IPO from China. A small IPO, they just seem to be like those Szechuan peppers you get every once in a while in your Kung Pao chicken and wish you would have never ordered it. That happened to me recently. You know, I didn't see it. It was hiding under a pea pod. And I got a Szechuan pepper, started sweating profusely. My wife asked me if she should call an ambulance. I said, no, I'll be okay, but no more Kung Pao chicken from that place. Initial jobless claims surprise with another drop this week. Can you believe it? Under 200,000. Now, we'll see.
Pretty amazing.
You know, after the holidays, if they lay off a bunch of temporary help here, but that's amazing, 199,000. You got to say Trump's first year in office, I mean, has been pretty good for the economy and for the stock market. Fortunately, he's got 3 years to go, all right? It's all about, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, is the market. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about China and how their economy is doing. The biggest factor in the world, China. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. China's composite PMI. I know you were waiting for that one. Bear with bated breath. It hits a six-month high as manufacturing and services both enter expansion. Well, you know, I will say this about China. They have been able to replace a lot of the sales that they made to us. Used to make to us, as we now charge tariffs on Chinese goods. They've been able to pretty much open up markets in Europe, Latin America, and other areas to pick up the slack. And, of course, they continue to be the manufacturer, the factory to the world. Building than they do consuming, whereas America is just at the opposite of that. We do more consuming, maybe too much. That's why the GLP-1 drugs are doing so well.
Right.
We do more consuming than we do manufacturing. And, you know, I was listening to some different podcasts yesterday. As there wasn't much to do in the market, along with doing my continuing education. You know, I always save it for the last 2 weeks of the year.
Oh, actually, yeah.
The last week of the year, we have to put in 12 hours of a continuing education. So I'm really up. I really am up on, restricted stock.
Money laundering.
Large positions in one or two stocks. We had to learn all about money laundering. I haven't seen any of that around these parts. We've never had an incident of any. No terrorists have tried to funnel monies through our ultra growth portfolio as of now, or the bond portfolio. But I'm sure it happens at some of the bigger banks, and you got to be on the lookout for suspicious behavior. So, anyways, China's composite. Oh! I was listening to a model train show. I'm learning how to do operations on my little layout with the grandkids, and they said the number one story in the model train world this past year was tariffs.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the guy looked up a price on a locomotive a year ago. It was around $219 for an HO locomotive. And now it's about $279. You got about a 30% increase because of the tariffs. And, you know, there's the sticky mess. We still do not have a resolution from the Supreme Court on this whole matter of whether or not the tariffs were legal or not. And if they're determined illegal, am I going to get a $60 refund on all of the HO trains I bought this year, locomotives? It's going to be a sticky mess. So they're taking a long time to resolve that, and I'm sure they're on break until November of next year. I don't know. I'm sure the Supreme Court gets a long break this time of year. But that's still hanging out there, Barry, and it could cause a lot of chaos. Costco has already sued the government, waiting for a determination from the Supreme Court. They want the tariffs back. That they had to pay. So anyways, we'll see where all that goes. That's a good chart in Taiwan Semiconductor today. But, yeah, what are you going to say on the
certainly
tariff?
Certainly a source of uncertainty, right, in terms of, you know, if we think about, you know, kind of how 2026 plays out, certainly I think kind of that big uncertainty in terms of how the tariffs get dealt with from the Supreme Court in the early part of 2026. And then, of course, you know, towards the back half of 2026, we'll have a midterm election. And I'm sure, you know, that narrative will begin to take over towards the summer months this year. So it's a pretty interesting dynamic in terms of how, you know, how things will, you know, kind of play out from two halves of the year, particularly when you get into the midterm election on the back half. But
if you look back at this year, I would say the biggest story in the market that moved the market more than anything was the tariff issue.
Certainly.
Which it sent the S&P down to 4,800 back on April the 8th. You know, from up, it was up around 6,000. I mean, it was a 25, 20, 22% hit to the market in very rapid fashion. And it looked like Trump's ratings were going to, you know, really tank. And then all of a sudden, you know, one by one, we started to realize that we're not seeing any impact on earnings of the companies. They're able to somehow absorb the tariff or pass it on to the customer, the consumer. And if anything, we've seen earnings estimates for this year and next year go up, not down, up.
Right.
But it caused quite a shockwave in the market back in spring of this year, early spring of this year, and it was a huge story. You know, the second biggest story has got to be the Fed and the stinginess there of Powell, who has been called everything from an imbecile to an idiot to, you know, all of Trump's usual vocabulary on people he doesn't like. And the third biggest story has probably been the relationship between us and China, which I see at times, amenable at times, conciliatory at times. But I don't think China needs us as badly as we thought they did. They've been able to diversify their portfolio. And it did bring a lot of plants and manufacturing back to America in some big areas and more investment in American factories. But you're not going to be making HO railroad train supplies and stuff here in America anytime soon. And a lot of the small stuff, the clothing and whatnot that went overseas, it hasn't really, it's not going to bring back the Rust Belt, Barry, in the Midwest. Anyways, that was also a big story. Okay, we got a couple of biotech winners here today. I've kept my eye on this Axsome, A-X-S-O-M-E. The symbol is A-X-S-M. I would just say it's one of the most promising biotechs out there. Not only, I think migraine headaches was one of the things that they're working on, but now they've got something that is showing some promise in Alzheimer's. The stock is up 19% today. I'll call it the stock of the day, AXSM, which is headquartered in New York, New York, not exactly the biotech center of the world, but that's where it's at. And it has good news on a development in their pipeline and doing the clinical trials. AXSM is an $8 billion company. Now, I have a hard time investing in biotechs, really, unless, oh, there's something really known, or we did really well with Gilead Sciences when they came up with the pill for the liver, not having to have a liver transplant. Of course, we've done very well in Lilly, which I wouldn't call a biotech, but then again, they have a huge pipeline of drugs, potential drugs. And then some of the partners.
Dexcom
was a good one. Yeah. I mean, we've had our share. Regeneron was a good one with the Eylea. So I watch out for it, but at the same time, it's hard to invest in one that's in phase one trials, you know, that could... I could go either way, and chances are it won't go the right way. We'll be right back. Don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on this New Year's Eve, last day of 2025. You know, actually, there's a stock, another biotech that's actually doing even better than Axsome. And this one is tied to Lilly. Vanda. V-N-D-A. V-N-D-A is up 33%. This morning,
wow.
Let's see, did they get approval? This is one that I've taken a lot of people fishing over the years out in the ocean, and many people get seasick. I don't get seasick, you know, I usually ask people before I take them out on the boat to go fishing in the ocean, do you get seasick? Oh, no, I don't think so. And pretty soon they're like, bent over the rail, you know,
right.
Chumming up the sharks. But anyways, Vanda has a new motion sickness drug that is proving to be very effective. So we're always looking. Now, over the years, I've seen all kinds of, there were wristbands with a bead that would sit on your carotid artery, or not your carotid, but the artery going into your wrist. There were other scopace that was seasick. There's Dramamine, but this one here, let's just see what it's doing that is different from the rest. Vanda added 32%. It's adding 32%. Oh, it's got an FDA-approved motion sickness therapy called Tradipitant. So take that on your next carnival cruise. That's good though. Mark, this stock doing very well. Yes, I've had some, I remember, in the winter time, some of the boats out of San Diego would go down off of Mexico and fish some of the deep water canyons for some of those tasty bottom fish, rock cod, we call them, rock cod. And, the boat would leave like at midnight, you know, and head on down there. And yeah, you know, it gets a little rough sometimes, maybe 6-8 foot swells. And I was sitting in the galley watching a guy eating a chili cheese omelet at 2 a.m. I thought, you know, I don't think this is going to end well. The next thing I knew, Andy was drinking. Some of these people,
no.
They go, why do you go fishing to get loaded drinking? I go to fish and put some fish in the freezer when I get back, some fish taco meat. And I looked over at him a little while later. His face was planted in that chili cheese omelet. He was green as you know, you see some weird stuff when you go fishing. I said, I'm not inviting him on my boat, but it didn't end up well for him. Now, here's the other side of investing in biotechs. Corcept Therapeutics. See, and then this one's had some action in the past. I kind of know all these biotechs, believe it or not, because I follow them. Ooh, down 59%. That's going to add to the initial jobless claims there, Barry, next week when they give these people in Menlo Park the news. I actually knew a lady. She went to our church there in La Costa, California. Which is a suburb of San Diego up in the North County. Nice golf course there. I think they've had a few championship golf tournaments there, and my wife and I lived in that area for a long time. She was the HR manager for a biotech company, Barry, and I don't know if it was around the holidays. It seems like it was, but I remember telling the story that they got, like, their drug didn't work at all. You know, it was like the stock went to 3 cents when they had one thing in the pipeline. It didn't work. She had to be the one that told everybody that you don't have a job on Monday.
Sorry. Yeah.
She said it wasn't a good experience, but, you know, they move on. The scientists move on to another biotech. Usually they get picked up somewhere else. But San Diego is a hotbed, especially in the area where we live, Carlsbad, and up on Torrey Pines, where the Scripps Institute is, and the Salk Institute, Jonas Salk. So anyways, it's hit or miss with those biotechs, but you got two winners and a loser today. The takeaway there is diversify, okay?
Put a lot of irons in a lot of, have a lot of irons in the fire in the biotech world, because a lot of them are not going to pay off, and then if you can get a couple that do hit, then that's a success.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, there's hundreds of publicly traded biotechs, and how many of them will end up coming up with an actual product, and how many of them will go belly up? A vast majority of them will go belly up. Citigroup. They say we're not in a bubble, we're in a boom. I like this guy. Citigroup head of U.S. equity strategy, Scott Cronert, he's a big wig guy, sees the market in a boom phase rather than a bubble phase. You know what? I think we're late in the boom, very late. I don't know that I'd be lighting the firecrackers tonight like we're in the beginning of a boom, but he's very optimistic. The earnings is definitely in a boom. There's no question about that. So anyways, he has a very optimistic forecast for – he doesn't put out a target price. I put out mine last Friday. And this week I'm going to try to have a couple of conviction picks, individual stocks. They won't be penny stocks, I can tell you that. And they probably won't be crypto-related, and they probably won't be dinosaurs from the past. Although, there's a lot of action in Nike these days. Nike, number one, got the big investment from Tim Cook, and now the CEO, Elliott Hill, buys $1 million worth of Nike stock, putting his money where his mouth is. Maybe that's a turnaround play. I don't like it, but maybe it is. There's a lot of activity around Nike right now, people looking for value. Global Foundries. Now, this story caught my eye because rarely do I see Wedbush downgrade a tech stock. But they're actually downgrading a tech stock here today. It must really be bad for them to downgrade it. Global Foundries. Which is a foundry in New York, not exactly the chip-making capital of the world. Global Foundries makes a lot of lower-end chips, and is getting a downgrade from Wedbush today, from buy to neutral. Okay, so they do. I thought they were permeables on everything tech, but no, they do downgrade stocks from time to time. You know what else is driving the market, and it has been all throughout this past year, and Elon Musk himself is making news. Musk has purchased a massive warehouse near Memphis, Tennessee, for the construction of a third data center near Memphis. He bought a third building called Macro Hardware X, AI, and Tesla, Elon Musk said in a post on the social media platform, it will take his AI training compute to almost 2 gigawatts. It's an 8,100-square-foot facility located just across the state line from Memphis in South Haven, Mississippi. It's positioned near Colossus 2 data center. You know, this is wild stuff we're talking about these days, these data centers. They're almost, almost from something you saw in the movies way back when they were predicting what we'd be seeing in the future, Colossus data centers. It's also close to a new natural gas power plant project being funded by AIX. To help provide the necessary electricity for the data centers. XAI is also developing a 500 megawatt data center in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, Barry, this is just for training AI, right? AI. You've got
and this is early days into building this thing out. I mean, it takes think about the time in which to do this, and you're not just building a data center. You're also providing it with power and infrastructure. I mean, it's a big change.
It's
going to be here for a while.
Billions being thrown at these data centers, and not to be outdone, Goldman Sachs is leading leading financing for Texas South Dallas, a data hub. And by the way, we're going to start our Dallas show soon, I think, and Phoenix. Both of those are going to go on up. The light's coming on in those two markets. And hopefully by later this year, we'll get a trip to Scottsdale, eat at my favorite restaurant in America, The Mission. I like the Tadich Grill, too, in San Francisco, and also Skoma's. Those are my three favorites. But be that as it may, the data center boom continues. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we got a little bit more news here to talk. You know, Barry, in a little a train layout, you get a lot of derailments. I mean, constantly. You know, the grandkids running too
right?
fast.
Yeah.
There's a kink in it somewhere. It's really aggravating, right, to get a derailment. But it's not as costly as when a real train derails. And CSX had a derailment in Kentucky yesterday. And of course, that's expensive equipment. One of the company's trains derailed in southern Kentucky and leaked a flammable chemical. They put out a shelter in place order for nearby residents. And CSX responded quickly, but now they've got the cleanup effort, removal of damaged cars, and an investigation into the cause. But if you go back, I think it was in October of this year, a coal train derailed near Providence Forge in Virginia, sending two locomotives and 53 coal cars off the tracks. I saw a picture of this way down a steep hill into the wetlands. And
wow.
Knocking out a bridge. Can you imagine the mess and the expense? No injuries or hazmat cargo were reported, but spilled coal, diesel leakage from the locomotives, and a 12-day shutdown of the route to Newport News contributed to a $40 million Q4 financial hit. So, that's very costly. And the area where it derailed, it couldn't have happened in a worse place either, down in that gorge. Top-performing utilities this past year. They've got Oklo listed as number one. I wouldn't call it a utility. They make small modular reactors, but it was up 249% in 2025. Korea Electric Power. Now, Korea Electric Power is KEP. It's kind of like it's behaved much like the nuclear stocks have here in America, Constellation Energy and Vistra. Korean Electric Power is facing the same issues in Korea where they have data centers and they got to power them. That stock was up 144% this year. And then next in line is another nuclear-related power stock, French Acciona. It was up 101% this year. But, these are hybrid power companies. They're not your traditional gas and electric utility. They also have exposure to the booming nuclear industry. The REITs had a horrible year. If I was going to invest in a REIT, it would be a healthcare REIT. They did pretty well. Other than that, and none of the others, you had diversified healthcare up 106%. That's a big return for a REIT. You have the American Healthcare REIT up 70%, and Welltower. Wish somebody transferred a little bit of that Welltower to us, and I've kept it. I haven't sold it because it continues to do well. It's up 50% so far this year. But all in all, I'm not a fan of the REITs try to avoid them. They just haven't been very dependable, especially in the environment we're in where Amazon is crushing the shopping centers, the malls, and COVID crushed the office market. And the REIT authors, do you remember when the top five articles every day were about a REIT? Buy this?
Oh, REIT? Yeah. There's all yield plays, you know.
They call them swans. Sleep well at night. Here's your top swan. Well, you know what? Most of them have not done well at all, and now the REIT articles have all but disappeared. It's a desert. Maybe it's time to get into the REITs now. There was one guy in particular that's all he wrote about. He would write 12 articles a year on Realty Income. Every 4 weeks, I recommend this is the best REIT in America, blah, 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 blah. But he had a lot of followers. He had a million followers and people subscribing to his REIT newsletter and everything. But that kind of has died out. Well, okay, I'll be working on the newsletter, believe it or not, today, and you'll see the year-end numbers, which I usually spend this time of year to do a little audit. I go back and audit the numbers, make sure I didn't miss anything, add in the dividends maybe if we received any. And, of course, I subtract out the management fees, the highest one that we charge. Most people don't pay that, but that's what I do to make it even, to make it fair and balanced. You'll get that, and you'll get this week in the newsletter. I hope to have at least two conviction picks for 2026, maybe three. Last week I did the 12-month forecast for the S&P 500. We did pretty well this year, not too bad. We predicted 6,510, and it's at about 6,850 instead. And along the way, it went down to 4,800, and we never did change. We lowered our forecast a little bit during that period of time, just in case the tariffs, because at one point the tariffs on China were 140% there for a few weeks. That would have definitely impacted earnings in the market. So anyways, to get four free weeks of the newsletter, which includes the live trading alerts and the access to the all-important Best Stocks Now app, I got work to do on that this weekend. To get the 2026 numbers up and running there. It's a moving target. The market is always moving. It never sits still. Go to GundersonCapital.com. And Houston in early February, very early February. It's not too early to reserve a spot with Edie. She's the one that makes the appointments, the Tuesday and Wednesday, all day long. If you want to get a prime spot in the Galleria area of Houston, probably at a Marriott, you can call her at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment for a portfolio review. How did you do in 2025? How did your advisor do? Maybe you do it yourself to get a second opinion and a review or talk about a financial plan. You can make an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Happy New Year, everybody. And we look forward to a prosperous 2026.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.